to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
I heard a preacher one time say he went to church and they tried to preach the hell out of him. It didn't work. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Went to school and they tried to educate the hell out of him and it didn't work. Then he went to jail and they tried to rehabilitate the hell out of him and it didn't work. And then he went home and his dad tried to beat the hell out of him and it didn't work. But he came to the real Jesus and Jesus loved the hell out of him. Isn't it, man? That's the message of Easter. Him dying on the cross is him taking our place, taking our sin. And I want to spend just a few minutes and look at that today like we've already seen in the little skit. You know, to Easter, to a lot of people, Easter is just a holiday, you know, kind of remembering things, something that happened years ago, and they don't really understand what it has to do with them today. And there is, though, an application for us today, and really for every day. Easter is not just the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but it's a story of him doing something for us. And so that's really what Easter is all about. And so the power that raised Jesus from the dead is kind of what I want to look at just before we get to the Easter, you know, the handout of the candy and so forth. Because really in the mind of God, in looking in the scriptures, because the scriptures reveal the way God sees these things, we find that really what God did whenever Jesus died on the cross, Jesus was really our substitute. He was not just a martyr, you know, dying as a martyr under the Roman government. He was actually, literally, according to the scriptures, our substitute. And God identified what he identified us with what he did. He was paying a debt for sin. The wages of sin is death. And he was paying that debt for us, the Bible said. You know, if you have a bill due, electric bill due or something like that, and I go down to the electric company and I pay the bill, I pay it on your behalf and I tell them to credit it to your account. And the electric company sees it as if your bill is paid. In fact, if you call them and say, you know, how much do I owe you? They will say, you owe me nothing. Because what I did, what I paid and put it to your account. And that's what God was doing on the cross with Jesus. Jesus was not just a martyr, he was our substitute. He was paying our debt. All of us, the Bible said, and that includes every one of us. I clean up nice as a preacher, but I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus was going to the cross as our substitute. And also, he identified us with him. That means we became, in the mind of God, in the economy of God, in the economy of heaven, the way God sees these things, we became one and the same with him. When he died, when Jesus died, the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 5, verse number 14, it talks about, in that one died for all, then all died. That simply means God put it to your account that you paid the price for your sin. The wages of sin is death. Whenever Jesus took our place, God said, that's him stepping in for every person on the planet, and I am identifying all as having paid the price for their sin. Because Jesus was our substitute. Now, we know you might say, well, what is man's part then? Man's part is that he believes on that. You know, none of us can live holy enough. The Bible says all our sin is as filthy rags. None of us can live holy enough, really, to be righteous to meet God's standards because his standard is perfection. You understand? But we do have a substitute. Isn't that the good news? But not only did Jesus take our place, and when we place our faith in him, in his redemptive substitutionary work, God puts it to our account. But also when Jesus was raised from the dead, God also put that to our account. The scriptures, it's a great mystery to some people, but it's really not that difficult to understand. Because in Jesus' resurrection, as far as in the mind of God, when he raised from the dead, you and I were raised with him. And God identified us with him in that as well. And it was as though we did it. It was as though we died, and it was as though we raised from the dead. It talks about it in a verse, some scriptures in Ephesians 2. It talks about how that we are crucified with Christ, and then we were quickened together when we were raised together with him. That might sound like, you know, theological language that's way out there. We don't understand what he's talking about. But he's talking about spiritually, God saw him taking our place, and he identified all of us with him, is what it's talking about. And also, and it says this in Ephesians chapter number 1, there's a prayer there from verses 16 through 20. There's a prayer there. Paul prayed that we would know certain things, that we would get some certain truths. There's things God wants us to get. You know, like somebody said one time, have a wasabi moment. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. You ever been to a Japanese restaurant and had wasabi? That's that little green dish in the middle of the table that everybody, you know, pushes away and says, no, thank you. You ever had that stuff? It's a root that they smash up. It tastes a lot, it's not horseradish, but it tastes a lot like horseradish. You know, whenever you put that a little bit of that on your fork or a cracker or something, you put it in your mouth, I mean, your head explodes. And you know, you basically it clears everything up, you know, it's like. And that's the way God wants us to be spiritually, where it hits our head. What happened in Christ? And when he died, when he raised from the dead. Tell your neighbor, you need a wasabi moment. But here's something, this prayer I began to talk about in Ephesians 1. Paul prayed, amongst other things, that we would know the power that is to usward that raised Jesus from the dead. Listen to that, those words. That's in the King James. I'm quoting King James. The power that raised Jesus from the dead that is to usward. To usward means in our direction. So not only did God identify us with his death and burial and resurrection, God identified us as having a joint account with Jesus in receiving the power that raised him from the dead. You say, what does that all mean? Well, what it means is that according to the scriptures, through the power of the new birth and through the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and walking in the light of these things, there is power to put you over in life, to make things work for you that you couldn't make work before. Acts 1:8 says you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The word power there means ability. There's been ability since I've come to God, ability working in my life, making things work that make me turn around. People go, how'd you do that? And I go, don't look at me. You know, there's something working for me. And God wants us to live with that power in our lives that raised him from the dead. And so, because that power was to usward, I want you to listen to these couple of scriptures here. There's a scripture over in 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. One translation says, not just talk, but power. It's about living by the power of God. In other words, having an empowered life. That means, the Phillips translation says, this is in another scripture actually, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Our gospel came not unto you in mere words, but it is a message with power behind it. The gospel, according to Romans, is the power of God unto salvation. But that word salvation is not just, being getting a ticket to heaven, you might say, being born again. But the word salvation literally means preservation, safety, healing. It's all that exact same word translated healing. In other words, God's power is not an initial offer to get you saved and to remit your sins through confessing Jesus and receiving him into receiving him into our lives. It is available ongoingly to live a life full of power, to live free from sin, to overcome condemnation. How many of you ever had shame try to you know, follow you around like a dog or something, you know? Yeah, I mean, there's power to get rid of these things that try to dog us. And so when he said the power is to usward, that means it's in our direction. It's at our disposal to draw upon for all the needs of life, not just to be born again. Although, I mean, if you're going to get anything, get that. But there's power for living every day, for living, we call it the victorious life. And whenever we receive Christ, the Bible talks about some in the last days, and we see this in our day, some that, they have religion without the power. They deny the power thereof. Well, the power of God is in the resurrection, and it's the usward, and it's made available to raise us from an old nature of sin into a new man, a new creation, like God, empowered to live. Because that power really that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible said Jesus is still alive today by that power. He raised from the dead by that power, and he lives by that power. We are to come to him and receive by faith his resurrection power that makes us a new creation. And also, ongoingly, we can live with that power working in our lives. I done did it. I preached myself happy. God's offering you his power. He's offering you an empowered life. And if I were you, I would take it if you've not accepted it yet. Isn't that right? Life's just always better with power. How many of you thank God for electricity, for example? It just makes things work. It just makes things better. You know, ever since you were a kid, you wanted to be a Superman, superhuman powers to leap over tall buildings and all that. Well, listen, this power is not going to necessarily give you power to leap over tall buildings, but it will give you power to leap over sin whenever temptation comes and leap over tests and trials and the curse of the law and all the sickness and disease out there and all the works of the devil. And so that's what he's offering us. And so really, this power that raised Jesus from the dead is really directed toward us. So God brought you an opportunity to have your own personal Easter. That's a new life, powered not by Duracell, but by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. I'll take that. How many of you will take that? You know, there's things that people do that they keep, every time they do it, they hate themselves for doing it. I've been in that place where you don't like yourself for doing that and living that way or acting that way or something of that nature. There's power to live free from things like that. And that's what the resurrection is all about. It's making that power available to us, you know. And so we're just needing to understand that. And so there's the difference. A man, remember that verse that we just quoted to you in Ephesians says, it's the power is to usward who believe. That's what makes us a target of that power. That's what, when I grew up on the farm. I'm a country boy, really at heart. And when I grew up on the farm, we had a lightning rod, a couple of them actually, on top of the big barn. That was the highest building on one of the silos, the highest buildings, we had lightning rods up there. Because if lightning strikes that, you know, that'll draw that. That highest point will draw that. And then had a cable go down and ground it, you know. And so that's what faith is like. He said that power is towards them who believe. When you come to receive, place your faith in Christ and believe in him, there's power. You get struck. And it's not destructive power. It's delivering power. It draws it. God's power will jump over many other things and strike somebody who releases their faith and puts their faith in him. And so we need to understand that. Life is, like I said, is just better with power. I remember growing up, my dad had, the old cars, they had power under the hood. It wasn't just a little four-cylinder in there. You can't hear it running, Is it going? Is it running? I mean, when my dad's cars growing up in the 70s, you knew somebody started the car. You could hear that from inside. There's power under that hood. And so, it's nice to have that. And I remember a number of years ago, my wife and I, we bought a four-wheeler utility vehicle we needed. And so we bought the thing. And, now they got all these regulations and all these safety things and everything. And I didn't know, because it just seemed like it didn't have the kind of power I wanted. I wanted the more powerful one, but they didn't have the one that my wife wanted and the size with the back and all the stuff in the back seats and all that. So, a compromise. I got the one that was 570 under the hood rather than 900 under the hood. Which is fine, but I ran around the parking lot of the dealership, and I thought, it's got some power. But I got it out into the into the property. And I mean, we hit those hills and it goes, and it's trying to get up those hills. I'm like, oh, look, I made a mistake. I should have got that. And I couldn't get that thing to let go, to go ahead. And so I don't remember even how I found out. Somebody said it or so. I remember what. I looked it up one time to see if there's anything on the internet about it. And it said that it has a governor on it that unless you connect the seatbelt, it'll only open it up, the throttle up so far. I had a wasabi moment, you know. I quickly ran up there, put the seatbelt on, and I mean it made a world of difference. How many of you know it's better with power? This, living life is better with power. And I thought, wait a minute. Now, I can't run. Now, all you kids, plug your ears, but I can't run this thing around all the time with my seatbelt on. I mean, rednecks don't do that. So I got to figure out. Don't tell your kids, but I put it, I connected it behind the seat and buckled that thing in without my seatbelt, like every, and all the good rednecks said, amen, amen. And from then on, I mean, the thing's great. Life is better with power. Tell your neighbor it's better with power. You need something beyond yourself to put you over in life. Something beyond yourself to put you over in life. And so there's a number of illustrations along this line. If you think about electricity, what, I don't know, 120 years ago or whatever, don't quote me on that, but whenever it was that we started learning about, you know, mankind started learning about electricity and how it works and how to, you know, remember Ben Franklin with the kite and the key and all that, you know, and then Edison and all these men, Tesla, they all learned all these things. And now we've learned that electricity's here. We've learned how to harness it. We learned how to direct it. We've learned how to channel it and use it and govern it and not fry ourselves with it, you know. And so with all those things we've learned all the laws that govern electricity. Electricity has become a great blessing, great to our lives. I mean, what would you do without electricity every day? Think about it. And so really, But see, here's the point. Electricity and all the laws that govern it and everything was here on the earth for centuries before man really found out about it and learned how to use it and the laws that govern it and all of that. And so, but here's the point. Until man found out about it and until man learned to tap into the laws that govern it, it was as if it wasn't there. The same thing's true with you and I. You know, whenever a person receives Christ and the new birth and is made a new person in Christ and then goes on into the additional offer of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and continues to go on in the things of God, there is a knowledge of how the power of God works that God wants us to get. And it'll really benefit us to be able to do that. It's all the power that raised Christ from the dead. And when we do that, God is going to show off in our lives. It wasn't on God's end that electricity wasn't working for mankind for centuries. It was on man's end not knowing about it. Isn't that right? And so really, when you start, you know, so many people, they're praying for God to give them power or something. Really, God already sent the power when he sent the Holy Spirit. What we are to pray for is, Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding how to cooperate with that power, how to put it to work for us. Isn't that right? And so, because really, there's a lot of things that we think we're waiting on God for, and really, God's waiting on us to learn to operate in the power that will put us over in that area of our lives. Many of the miracles in the Bible were people that came and tapped in. You saw an illustration here in the little skit, tapped into that power and got something. But a lot of them, if you read the Bible closely, God didn't initiate their miraculous intervention. Really, they initiated it by their faith. Amen. And so we want to learn to do that. And really, it all begins through placing our faith in Christ, that God raised him from the dead, that we are sinners and need a salvation, which we cannot produce on our own. Some power beyond our own has to produce that in our lives. And so we should be people who come to God and receive that power and also major on that power that we get hooked up to when we receive him and not on our own abilities. You understand? There's power to live victoriously over sin, to be more than a conqueror, to be free from fear, to be free from what keeps afflicting our marriages and our homes and so forth and so on. But let me just say this before we wrap this up. Ephesians 1 again in verse 19. We were referring to that prayer earlier, if we remember. He said that power is to usward. So just like if you study the scriptures very carefully, there were demonic forces that were trying to oppose Jesus' resurrection. Sometimes people say, what's the big deal? I mean, back in the Old Testament, we see that people were raised from the dead. What's so big about Jesus' resurrection? Well, he was our substitute, and he took our place, like we said earlier. That was the big deal. But also, there were forces in hell trying to oppose his resurrection. There's many scriptures about that. And what happened was the power that the Bible talks about came and raised him from the dead. It not only raised Jesus from the dead, but it also defeated all those powers that were trying to oppose his resurrection. I mean, I humorously say sometimes, I want to see the video of that when I go to heaven. I want to see those demons splattering against the wall. Because that power was exceeding great power. It exceeded all that opposed Jesus, all that opposed him from being raised from the dead, and it got him to his rightful place, seated at the right hand of the Father today. And here's my point. That's the power that is towards you. Through receiving Jesus, through receiving his word and learning how his power works, that power is towards you to put you in your rightful place in life. All of us subconsciously know that there's things that we fight as enemies. We don't want them in our lives. I mean, we spend billions of dollars in our culture to overcome disease, to overcome mental oppression, and all these things. Well, we instinctively know they're an enemy. There's power to overcome them. There's the church today is riddled with self-help teachings and philosophy and other things that have no power in them. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It'll put you in your rightful place, past the adversaries that try to oppose you and keep you from living the kind of life God designed for you to live. Where's that life revealed? It's revealed in the Bible. Victorious over sin, victorious over the oppressions of the enemy, and there's demonic forces making evil people do evil things out there and all those things. You know, some people today that are changed into the image of God and lovely people today, if it weren't for the power of God, they would be out there doing the same things. Look at yourself in the mirror the next time you see a mirror and say, yeah, that's you. I know you. And so that power is to us, it's our direction. The thing God wants us to do is learn how to keep that flowing ongoingly. And so That's what I had in my heart to share with you today. Ephesians 3:20 talks about that power is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You might think there's no way out of your situation, out of the evil habits, the unclean things you keep going back to, or whatever it is that goes on in your life, but this power is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Once you're born of the Spirit, once you receive receive Jesus, who is the Lord of glory, that means the Lord of this power. He's the one that gives this power. Once we receive him, that power comes into our lives. And we must learn then how to walk with him and overcome. We can be total overcomers of these things. And so there's a story in the Old Testament about a lady. This is in 2 Kings 4, and I'm wrapping up now. You've heard that before, of course, but I'm just giving you a warning that I'm commencing the beginning to start. But the story is in 2 Kings chapter number 4 of a lady. She came to a man of God back there that she had I believe her husband had died, and she had a lot of debts and things, and she couldn't pay them off. She had two sons. They were going to put those two sons in, we'd call it slave labor today, work camps and stuff, in order to pay off the debts. And she came to this man of God and said, I need help. And he said, what do you have in the house? And he spoke to her by the leading of the Lord what to do. Go gather up vessels and whatever you have in the house. What do you have? She said, I have a little bit of oil. The preacher said, go get these vessels and set these vessels out and start pouring that oil into these vessels. And the Bible said that God multiplied that oil, and it kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring, kept pouring, kept pouring. And They got to the last vessel and poured into it. When they got it full, the Bible said the oil stopped. And she went to the preacher and said, "What do I do now?" And he said, "Go sell it. Pay off your debts." Well, the thing I wanted you to see is that's power, isn't it? That's the power of God. But it only stayed active until it reached the end of their faith. And why do I say that? Because he said, "Go get a vessel, not a few." Whatever to them was enough. And whatever, how many bottles they thought were enough, God said, "I'll meet you at your point of how far you want to go with this." You see what we're talking about. Many miracles in our lives are a process of learning to keep the power active and do it continually over a period of time. Not just get saved and then go on and try to do life on our own, you know, try to make it work on our own. It doesn't work that way. That doesn't mean you won't go to heaven, but who wants to go to heaven after going through hell down here? There's power to overcome all that. And so let's reach in faith for not just the power, initial offer of God's power to make us new, deliver us from our past and make us a new creation and so forth. But let's reach for a life that it goes on with God's power flowing. We're talking about learning to know how to cooperate with God's power. You know, like that four-wheeler that I was talking about. I didn't know how the system was set up to release all that power that was in there. As soon as I got the knowledge of it and did it, it released what was in the, with the power that was really in that engine. And so that's what really church is all about. It's not about doing our religious duty, you know. We check the box on Sunday. Dear God, if that's what it's all about, then count me out too. But it's about learning about God and how to receive from Him and what He wants to do and learning to cooperate with that power. Churches are also like God's power outlets in the wall, in a building, you know, where you can come and plug in when you need some help. Other people can get around you and say, "Well, come on in, plug in. Plug in."
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.